greatest of these. A program of kindness, tolerance, and goodwill. Starring Tom Collins as Harvey Desmond, an unusual person who believes in his fellow man. Greatest of these. This is the story of Harvey Desmond, a young attorney whose deep conviction is that one should believe in and practice the spirit rather than the letter of the law. Harvey has been left the sum of $1 million by an eccentric client with which he has founded a philanthropic trust to help those who have met with adversity. In the administration of the Helping Hand Trust, he is greatly assisted by his fiancée, Betty Crane. This unusual couple believe with the Apostle Paul, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And now to our story. It begins as two young men enter a cheap hotel in a taxi town about 200 miles from Harvey Desmond's home city. They stop at the clerk's desk, pick up their key, then start up the stairs to their room.
Now, Eddie, I can't get over.
What?
What a rotten deal we got.
Oh, you mean the guy at the factory?
Yeah. Just think, we hitchhiked 200 miles to this burg to get a job, and now the guy tells us they're not hiring fellows as young as us. What does he mean, young? I'm 17.
That's all right with me.
What do you mean it's all right with you? Don't you want a job?
No. I don't want to work.
You don't?
No.
Then what did you come with me for?
Just for the ride.
Just? Are you nuts?
No. I'd much rather ride around the country than work for some guy all day.
Well, you never make a living that way.
Oh, no? You got a lot to learn, pal.
Eddie, sometimes I don't get you at all.
Oh, you will someday. Then you get wise to yourself.
What do you mean?
Ah, oh, forget it. How are we going to get home?
Same way as we came, hitchhike. You know, if that guy at the factory had given us...
Forget it. Open the door. Hey, what's that you're walking on?
Huh?
It's a telegram.
Who for?
It's for you, Fred. Here.
Yeah, I wonder... Oh.
What's the matter?
Well, it's from Dad. He says Mother's in the hospital, dying with blood poisoning.
What?
I got to get home right away.
Sure.
Come on, let's throw those things in the grip.
Wait a minute, Fred.
Look, Eddie, we can't wait for anything. We got to
get... Fred, how are we going to get home in a hurry?
Same as we came, hitchhike.
At this time of day, it'll be dark soon, and it ain't so easy to get people to pick you up when it's dark.
Yeah, that's right. How much money you got?
Well, about $1.
All I got is 35 cents. I was thinking on getting that job, and...
But you didn't. We're practically broke, and you got to get home right away.
Yeah. Well, someone will pick us up in the morning.
Yeah. But by that time, it may be too late.
Yeah. Yeah, gosh. There must be some way of getting home sooner.
Sure, there's ways, but you wouldn't be interested.
What do you mean?
I just mean there's ways.
Look, Eddie, my mom's dying and I gotta get back there as soon as I can. What ways are you talking about?
Look, Fred, How do you think I got the money to make this trip with you?
Well, how should I know?
You think I got it like you had to do, work and save all summer from odd jobs? Not me. I made the money in about 10 minutes, and plenty of it.
10 minutes?
Sure. If you've got nerve, we can be on our way home in 10 minutes.
Well, I guess I got nerve.
Well, can you keep your mouth shut?
I guess so.
Okay. Get your things packed, and we'll be back home by midnight.
By midnight?
Sure, and maybe sooner. If we get a good car. There was no pain, Mr. Henderson. It was like going to sleep.
I'm glad to be in that place. Sorry, my boy, but he's gone. There he is.
Dad.
Hello, son.
How's Mom?
She's gone, son.
Oh, no, Dad.
Easy, son.
My mom. No.
Easy.
Oh, Dad.
She's better off. She's got rest. Better take him into that sitting room there. Thanks, doctor. Come on, son. Let's go in here. Here you are. Sit down, dear.
No.
Better take my handkerchief. Here.
If only I'd got him before she went.
You did your best.
Poor Mom.
How did you get here so quickly? I only sent the telegram this afternoon.
I'd rather not tell you that, Dad.
Why not, son?
I didn't get to see her before she went anyway. It was all for nothing.
What was all for nothing?
But what Eddie and I did.
What did you do?
We stole a car.
You stole a car?
You see, when I got your telegram, there was no way of getting back here in a hurry, so Eddie suggested
that you didn't have to do a thing like that.
I know, but when I thought of Mom dying, I wouldn't see her unless...
Where's the car now?
Out in front of the hospital.
And is Eddie waiting outside?
No, sir. He left. Went home, I guess.
I see. Son, your mother wouldn't have approved of you stealing, even to see you before she died.
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to take that car to the police station, and you're going to tell them about it.
Dad, I promised Eddie I wouldn't say anything.
That code is only for criminals, son. And I don't think you're a criminal. Are you?
No, sir.
Then, shall we go?
Yes, Dad.
Harvey, if you don't stop working on those plans long enough to have some hot tea, I'm going to get very angry at you. You know, it's nearly 1 o'clock in the morning.
I know, but darling, I've got to get them ready by tomorrow morning. They have to be submitted to the city council day after tomorrow.
How are they coming along?
That's not true. Betty, it looks as if Hope Cottage is going to be everything we hoped it would be.
Oh, it's a wonderful idea, Harvey. To take the juveniles out of the jail while they're waiting trial and have them committed instead to Hope Cottage.
I only hope we can persuade the city council to see it as we do. You see, darling, I can't get over the fact that these children, for that's all they are, really, are getting a pretty rough deal. The court is so overworked that these poor kids, most of them are being held for some trivial offense anyway, are filling up our jails waiting to be tried. Because of this overcrowding, they're thrown into those horrible cells with hardened criminals. And there they stay for months sometimes, in close contact with men and women who have made crime a career, and from whom they learn much worse things than they were arrested for in the first place.
Oh, the poor kid. But if Hope Cottage is built, Harvey, they'll have a chance. They'll have a clean, pleasant environment with sensible, tolerant counselors, and an opportunity to learn something of a better thing to life. And with our help, a little boost to climb up to those things.
You bet. Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. Henderson. How's Mrs. Henderson? Oh. Oh, I'm sorry. Henderson doesn't know.
Oh, my
God. What's that, Mr. Henderson? Well, of course. Right away, if you wish. Goodbye.
That's strange.
What's wrong, Harvey?
I don't know. He asked me to meet him at the police station.
Police station? I wonder what that's all about.
I can't imagine. Darling, do you mind if I skip tea? I promised him I'd meet him right away.
Oh, of course not. And if there's anything I can do to help, call me, will you?
Well, hello, Harvey.
Hello, Captain Feely. You know Mr. Henderson?
Yes. We have his son in jail.
Well, that's the reason I'm here, Captain. You see, his mother died just an hour ago, and, well, it's been a little harsh on the man.
Yes, I know it is. He's back in cell block 11E, crying his eyes out.
Wasn't it rather tough on the kid, Captain?
Frankly, it's the worst thing I've ever had to do. I can't help myself. I've tried to comfort the boy, but he won't let me or anyone else talk to him. Maybe you two can do something with him. Want to go down?
Sure.
Come on. This way. Okay, Hank. All right, gentlemen. Here he is, in there.
Hello, son.
Hello, Dad.
Hey, what's the idea of waking us up at this time of night? Ain't it bad enough we've had to stand for this sniveling shit all night? But our two guys coming in here disturbing our rest.
Pipe down, Lefty.
Captain, there are six people in that small cell. Why, there isn't even room for them all to sleep at one time. One of them sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, I have to take it in turns.
Look, Captain, do you have to give a personally conducted tour to jail at this time of night? I want to get some sleep.
Pipe down, Lefty. This gentleman's an attorney.
An attorney?
Yeah.
Hey, mister, how's about taking my case? I got plenty of dough. There's $5,000 in it for you if you can spring me out of this dump.
Well, thanks, but I...
And I'll stake the kid here, too.
No, thanks. I don't handle criminal cases.
But, mister, I can make it worth something.
Cut it, Lefty. Cut it. You better go.
Come on, Mr. Henson. We'll see what we can do.
Get up, son. Mr. Desmond will be able to do something. He'll be back.
Well, Captain, the Helping Hand Trust is willing to place bail for him. If you'll just tell me how much.
I'm sorry, Harvey, but I'm very much afraid that you can't make bail for the boy.
Why not?
You see, the car was stolen outside of our jurisdiction. And we have to hold him for authorities from the district where the crime is committed.
Hmm. Captain Feely is right, Mr. Henderson. There's nothing that can be done until the authorities in the next district come for the boy and take him back to their jurisdiction. Then bail can be made, but not until then.
Then he'll have to stay in jail.
Yeah.
But, Captain, you can't let that boy stay in that filthy cell with that bunch of hardened criminals.
I ain't got no other place to put him. I've yelled and yelled to the city council about conditions down here, but they don't take any notice.
Well, but isn't there anything we can do about this particular case?
Well, law only says that I can't turn him loose, but it doesn't say that I can't bring someone in to stay with him. I'll have him brought up to my office, Mr. Henderson, and you can stay here with him for tonight anyway. I'm going off duty in a few minutes.
And now for Act Two of The Greatest of These. Harvey has been impatiently awaiting word from the city council about his plans for Hope Cottage. And at last, in response to an invitation, he calls on Mr. Durwood, the president of the council.
Have a chair, Mr. Desmond. Thank you, Mr. Durwood. I presume the city council has looked over the plans for the juvenile home?
They have, and that's the reason I sent for you.
Hope Cottage will be the finest investment the council has ever made in a civic project, Mr. Durwood.
Well, I'm very much afraid, Mr. Desmond, that the council will have to reject your plans for a juvenile home.
Oh. Well, may I ask why?
The council merely feels that there is no need for a special home for juvenile criminals.
Juvenile criminals? Well, I'm afraid the consul has made a serious mistake in considering the juvenile a criminal.
Huh? Then what else would you call them?
Well, they're just ordinary boys and girls that get into difficulties.
Such difficulties as robbery, murder, and all forms of stealing, Mr. Desmond?
Please, may I remind you that Hope Cottage was designed for youngsters who've made only their first mistake. They're not confirmed criminals.
My dear man, when a boy or girl takes it upon themselves to commit a crime, they're considered a criminal in the eyes of the law. And I feel that if they weren't criminals, they wouldn't have committed the crime in the first place.
Then that's your opinion?
Well, yes, if you must know. The council placed the plans in my hands to investigate and make a report on. Fortunately, after careful consideration, I made the council see he would be making a serious mistake in mollycoddling a criminal just because he was a minor.
Mr. Durwood, do you have any children?
Of course. I have three fine youngsters, two girls and a boy. You no doubt heard of my son. He was a track star this year in high school.
Oh, yes, yes. Mr. Durwood, would you like to see any of your children thrown into jail among older and confirmed criminals for some small misdemeanor?
Don't be absurd. My children are not criminals.
No, but place them among confirmed criminals for just 2 weeks. And you'll find out that jails are no method of reform, but are actually schools for crime.
Just what are you getting at, Mr. Desmond?
Just this. From this day on, for every juvenile that has turned to crime after being placed in jail, you can personally boast that you had something to do with furthering their education.
You're rather insulting, Mr. Desmond.
Well, if the truth is insulting, Mr. Durwood, then yes, I am.
On your way out, Mr. Desmond, my secretary will be most happy to give you your plans for the gangster's nursery. Good day, Mr. Desmond.
Eddie?
Yeah, what do you want?
Pretty swell of Feely getting us a cell where we could be alone.
Yeah, it was about time.
He did the best he could for us, with the jails so crowded. You didn't even thank him.
Look, kid, why don't you get wise to yourself? What does it get you? You've been talking pretty sweet to that guy, Feely, and you're still in jail, aren't you?
Well, so are you.
But not for long. I'm getting out of here this afternoon.
But how can you? You gotta wait until they come to take us back to the town where we stole the car.
That only goes for you. I don't have to go back until the trial comes up.
I don't understand.
Look, did you ever hear of Joe Esposito?
Well, sure, everybody's heard of him. He's got some kind of a bonding company.
That's him, bail bond. And he's a mighty powerful guy. He's supposed to double bond for me over where we picked up the car, and now all I have to do is wait until the release comes through this afternoon.
Gee, wish I could get out. Dad doesn't have any money to hire a powerful man like Joe Esposito.
Look, Fred, how would you like to get out of here with me this afternoon?
Look, will you quit kidding,
Eddie? I'm not kidding. You play smart, you can get out of here, too. Talking nice to cops won't do it.
What do you mean?
Look, if you'll just tell Joe Esposito that you'll work for him, he'll get you out.
What kind of work?
What do you care, just so long as he gets you out of jail? Or maybe you like staying in jail.
You know better than that.
All right, what do you say?
All right, Daddy. Get your stuff together. We're getting out.
Hello, Mr. Esposito. Glad to see you.
All right, make it snappy. Let's get out of here, Roddy.
What do you say, Fred? You want to talk to Mr. Esposito?
But...
now or never. What do you say?
All right, Eddie. I'll talk to Mr. Esposito.
Hey, Eddie, come here.
Hello, Mr. Esposito.
Come on, get in the car. I want to talk to you.
Sure.
We'll drive around for a while. I don't want anyone to hear me talking.
I get you.
Look, what about that Henderson kid? He's been with us 10 days now, and how's he making out?
He's all right. A little strange, but he'll get used to the work.
How does he feel by now?
Well, the boys have worked him over a bit. Charlie Durwood has got him plenty scared.
Charlie Durwood. The president of the city council would certainly be surprised if he knew his boy was working for me.
He certainly would, Mr. Esposito.
Look, Eddie, we're finally going after the packing plant.
Mr. Esposito, that's dangerous. I never done a holdup.
What's the matter, Eddie? Got in weak knees?
No, sir, but gee.
You'd hate to go up for stealing that car, wouldn't you, Eddie?
Don't get me wrong, sir. I won't back out. It's just that something might go wrong in a holdup.
Just do as you're told, Eddie, and nothing will go wrong.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right. Meet me in the usual place tonight and bring the Henderson kid and Charlie Durwood with you. We'll plan this thing for Saturday night.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow night. We've got a date with the payroll messenger at the packing plant.
Well, hello, Mr. Henderson.
Good morning, Mr. Desmond.
Sorry to come down so early, but I've got to talk to you.
Sit down. Now, what's the trouble?
Well, as I told you, Mr. Desmond, I never could understand why this Joe Espolito made bail for Fred. I have no money.
Did you talk to Espolito as you said you would?
Yes, but all I got out of him was that he hated to see young kids in jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a talk with Captain Feely yesterday. We checked back over reports. There are quite a few crimes that are still unsolved. Crimes that have taken place in the past 3 years. And 3 years ago, Espolito started making bail for young boys who were being held for some slight misdemeanor charge.
Oh. Then you think that Fred is working for him?
Well, frankly, I don't know. But, Mr. Henderson, if you want Miss Crane and me to help Fred, you'll have to help us.
You know that I'd do anything to save my boy.
Well, that's fine. Then here's what we're going to do. Tonight, I want you to leave your house early and come up here to the office. Miss Crane will watch your house. When she sees Fred leave the house, she'll follow him. We've got to find out where he goes and who's the head of the gang, if there is such a thing. Also, we've got to stop Fred from doing anything else that might endanger him. Now, here's what we're going to do.
You have a hard time getting away from the house?
No, Dad went somewhere tonight. Where do we meet up with Charlie Durwood?
We'll walk over to the packing plant. He'll meet us out in front with the car just as the messenger comes out. He'll pass us the gun from the car. The rest will be easy.
What? I'm scared.
Don't be silly. It's a cinch. So Espolito says.
Hello?
Harvey, I followed Fred and another boy to the main gate of the packing plant. He's standing out in front, acting very nervous.
The packing plant?
Yes. Harvey, I don't know, but I think you and Mr. Henderson had better get over here right away.
All right, but Betty, stick close to them. Don't let them out of your sight. Where are you now?
In the cafe, just across from the main gate of the packing plant. I can see Fred and the other boy from here. Uh-oh. Car just drove up and stopped by the boy.
What kind of a car?
It's a green sedan. There's only one person inside. Harvey, he's handing something to the boy through the window.
Better you stay right where you are until we get there. Don't go out in the street. Understand?
Yes, but...
Just as soon as you hang up, call Captain Feely and have him meet us at the plant. Now, hurry.
What's the matter, Mr. Dent?
Well, I haven't got time to tell you. We've got to get out to the packing plant right away.
What are you shaking for, Fred?
I'm scared, that's why.
Oh, don't worry. It'll be over just a second. Uh-oh. The dad's at payroll now. Now get ready to hold the gun on him while I grab the sentry, you understand?
Gosh, I don't know what to do with the gun.
Just point it at him. He'll be too scared to move. After I get the satchel, we'll hop in the car and Charlie will get us away from here. Hold on, here he comes. All right, here goes.
All right, mister. This is a stick-up. Get him up.
Let's go in that bag, Sonny.
Give it to me. Fred, shoot, do you hear? Pull the trigger.
Oh, no, you don't.
Shoot him, Fred.
Why, you little...
Come on, Fred. Stand there, he'll kill you. Hey, wait for me!
Drop that gun.
Oh, I just... Please don't shoot me anymore!
Come on, Charlie, let's get away from here.
Stop that car!
Stop that car! Please! Please don't shoot me anymore!
Hey, take it easy. I'm gonna go shoot you again. Where's that gun?
Here it is.
Why, you're just a kid.
Three more blocks to go, Mr. Henderson.
If only we can get there in time.
Mr. Henderson, up ahead, that car. It's going wild.
You think that's the car that...
It's out of control. It's going to crash.
My boy, my boy.
What's the green sedan?
Fred! Fred!
Come on, we'll see if we can get them out.
Mr. Henderson, come back. It's on fire. Come on, get away before it catches the gas tank.
Fred! Fred!
Get away from that car!
Fred! Harvey.
Yes, dear.
You feel pretty badly about Mr. Henderson, don't you?
Yes, I do. About the whole business.
Was nice of Captain Feely going with Fred to his father's funeral this morning?
Yes. Feely's done a lot of good work for Fred since that night. Aside from arresting Espolito, he's arranged for the owner of the stolen car not to press charges. And he tells me that the payroll messenger testified that Fred was too frightened to even be an accessory to the holdup.
It's a good thing that messenger's bullet only grazed Fred.
Yes. Well, he's going to have a pretty sore arm for a while.
What will the grand jury do about Fred Harvey?
Well, taking his testimony into consideration and what it'll do to Espolito when he comes to trial, they're willing to release him.
Yes, that's all very nice, but the boy has no one to be responsible for him from now on.
Come in. Oh, Mr. Durwood. Please come in. Sit down. Thank you. This is my fiancée, Miss Crane.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do, Miss Crane? Mr. Desmond. It's pretty hard to face you after what I've done.
You've done nothing, Mr. Durwood.
Not actually, but I'm responsible, more or less. As you said, I would be.
Responsible.
First, I want to tell you that your plans for Hope Cottage have been accepted by the city council.
Oh, that's splendid, Mr. Durwood.
Yes, indeed.
Secondly, there's this boy, Fred Henderson.
Yes?
Today I buried my son, Mr. Desmond.
Yes, I know. And also today, a son buried his father.
That's what I mean. Perhaps I can find the hope of my boy by taking care of this fatherless boy.
And I think you'll make a very fine father, Mr. Durwood. These three, and the greatest of these, is charity.
Harvey Desmond was portrayed by Tom Collins, Betty Crane by Mary Lansing, Feely by Norman Fields, Fred by Bob Bruce, and Durwood by Charles Steele. The greatest of these was written by Charles Whittaker and was produced and directed by Edward Sloman. This is Gain Whitman.